Welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program addressing the ramifications of change in our communities and beyond, and how today's choices will impact tomorrow's community. This program is a collaboration with KCBX and its rotating team of program hosts. Tragedy struck recently as five Santa Maria teenagers died in a car crash, likely the result of driving under the influence of alcohol. Today, Fighting Back Santa Maria Valley's Executive Director Edwin Weaver and Behavioral Wellness Coalition Coordinator and Prevention Specialist Gabby Delgado, are joining host Lotta Murdy to discuss the meaning and impact of this tragedy on Santa Maria youth and North Santa Barbara County, and the organization's new Navigation Center for Youth opening in August. It's going to be a lively conversation. We invite you to listen, learn, and participate today. And you can call in and be part of our discussion at 805-781-3875. Or after the program, you can email the hosts at voices@kcbx.org. With that, let's join Lotta Murdy and her guests. Over to you, Lotta.
Thank you, Brad. And welcome, Edwin and Gabby. I am so glad to have you both in the studio with me today to discuss both the tragedy of June 7th in Santa Maria, but also the joy and excitement of gifting a youth navigation center to the city of Santa Maria. But let's begin with June 7th and the car crash that occurred on that Sunday. Edwin, when did you first hear about the car crash involving six Santa Maria youth, and what were the first thoughts that ran through your head when you heard about it?
Thanks, Lotta. It's great to be here. Monday morning, like a lot of us, social media was blowing up over this tragedy. It was the first time I heard about it. I also was, like most of us, concerned about who was involved, and we didn't have names yet, but then slowly the names came in that day, and it was just tragic for most of us because many of us knew many of these young people. We had spent time with them, knew them, and knew their families, and were just devastated that this happened in our small town.
Gabby, how about you? When did you first hear about this car crash, and what were the first thoughts that ran through your head at the moment?
I first heard about this crash on social media, and one of my first thoughts was just instant sadness, just thinking about all of the people impacted, their families, their friends, but also the community who was hurting at the same time.
Yeah, and this tragedy in Santa Maria made national headlines, correct? With the New York Post interviewing and quoting you, Edwin?
Well, it's interesting how media works these days. I got a call from the Los Angeles Times and was interviewed by a reporter there. It seems like the national news outlets just copied what she wrote. So I did speak to a reporter from the LA Times, but then much of what I said was repeated. And unfortunately, they didn't get quite a few things correct, which was too bad.
What do they not get correct?
Well, I think the I can't remember exactly some of the things that weren't right, but my title, I'm not the president of anything, you know. I thought that was fun. Everybody could call me President Weaver for a day. But, you know, I think the important things they did mention, which was these were kids in a car that they shouldn't have gotten into, and how tragic and how devastated so many people were over this. I was surprised, but I shouldn't have been, that it affected so many people on a real heartfelt level.
And so you say you were surprised, but you shouldn't have been?
Yeah, I think I was surprised because so many different people just cared so much about this and were expressing so much grief. So that surprised me because they weren't directly connected to the students who were injured. But again, I shouldn't be surprised because Santa Maria is known for caring about kids and caring about youth. And so everybody was just blown away by this extremely sad tragedy that occurred.
And these were mostly high school students, correct?
Correct, yeah. The 24-year-old who was driving was not. The rest of them, some of them had just graduated maybe through independent study, but they had recently been in school. You know, we had two a 19-year-old and then an 18-year-old and then some 17, 16-year-olds. So right around high school age. Most recently, you know, many of them were students that we had known and cared about deeply.
And this was right after school let out for the summer.
Well, yeah. The high school was getting ready to graduate, and Orchid had graduated, and St. Joseph just graduated. Correct.
Yeah. And so, Gabby, in your role as a prevention specialist and focused on behavioral wellness and in leadership with the Coalition for Fighting Back Santa Maria Valley, why do you believe that this car crash made national headlines?
I think it made national headlines because of the fact that five lives were lost in one instant. And it really makes you think that we as a community are doing a lot in prevention work, but it just goes to show that we need to do more. And we all need to come together to find the gaps and to fill them as fast as possible, as thoughtfully as possible, to make sure that our community and frankly, the county doesn't experience this type of hurt because it is very it leaves an impact on you.
Yeah, the county being Santa Barbara County. So, and this was, these were six passengers in one vehicle, right? So this wasn't a crash between two vehicles. This was a crash with one vehicle and all the passengers in one vehicle and a pole? Is that what?
Yeah. So if you know Santa Maria where Miller intersects with the 135, it's a dead end. And Miller, you got to go right onto the 135 or left right at Waller Park. They went straight and they hit a giant metal pole and it cut the car in half. And I think – so speed was definitely a part of it, which really brings me to some other thoughts around this is, you know, we in Santa Maria Valley and Santa Maria – the city of Santa Maria have a very huge issue around traffic safety. Mm-hmm. We have unfortunately scored as one of the most dangerous areas to be walking or to be in an accident in the state of California. The Board of Traffic Safety – puts us together with 60 other cities that are the same size, and we are the worst when it comes to traffic safety out of that 60.
This is on a national level?
No, this is on a state level.
State level.
Based on 60 like cities. And so, you know, the most recent statistics we have are around 2023, but we had 462 accidents that involved an injury or fatality in that 1 year. Many of them are pedestrian related. Many of them are not impaired driving, bicycle related or other related. I think the chief of police really is concerned about this as well as the city leaders. How can we make our streets more safe in general? And this brings impaired driving to the forefront, which we were talking about today, but also just safety in general, speed, how we're driving. Are we running through red lights? Unfortunately, it is well known that in Santa Maria, people just blast through red lights on a regular basis, and it's very dangerous. We have got to, as a community, decide that we're going to operate our vehicles much more safely if we're going to reduce the rates of injuries and fatalities in our town.
Why do you think this is? Why Santa Maria?
Well, I don't know. I have a couple theories. One is I think that we all seem to be in a hurry, and I think we just need to slow down. It may be that we grew up and the town was a lot smaller, and we get impatient. We were able to cut through town maybe in 10 minutes, and now it takes 20. So we try to make up that time. We think, oh, we're just going to go across town, and we schedule 10 minutes, and we get behind. And I think a lot of us could just benefit from realizing what the stoplight is for when it turns yellow, to slow down and stop. It doesn't mean to step on the gas and try to blast through. And just realize that we'll be okay if we're 2 or 3 minutes late. It won't be the end of the world. I think we have a lot of new drivers in our community. I think people, because we have a large immigrant population, a lot of times adults come here driving in different places. I just had the opportunity to be in three different countries I'm happy to say that we are very safe drivers compared to the people in Morocco. I was scared for my life, but it did get me to realize that if you are used to driving in a different situation and then arrive here and are asked to drive in a different manner, that's a big change. And so I don't know what we could do, but I think we should be thinking about how to encourage people who came from a different part of the country or a different country in itself, who drove in a different way, that we really in Santa Maria want to slow down and we don't want to be blasting through red lights or stop signs and be more safe.
And so, Gabby, you work with young drivers, youth drivers. Would you say all of this applies to them too? Or what might be going on with them in terms of impaired driving?
You know, I think that one of the first instances is that they aren't thinking about the long-term consequences of how their actions could not only impact themselves, but so many others in one instant. And maybe they're just paying attention to the music. They're trying to turn it up. They're looking at their phone in that instant. So many other things could happen. And we live in such a fast-paced world that just goes to show you how we just need to be focused on the road and not worrying about our phone if a text message comes through or to change the music, because that leaves a lasting impact.
Definitely. I mean, I have to ask now, as the mother of two teenagers learning or about to learn how to drive, do you think actually the driving age should be older? For a license?
I actually don't. I mean, I got my learner's permit at 15 and a half. I did have to take a driving class in school and a road class in school. And I believe, honestly, that all licensed drivers should have to take a road class. They don't in California. If you're over 18, you just have to pass your written test and driving test. You don't have to have an actual class. So I do think thinking about a course for all new drivers in the state might be something to think about, because I learned so much from my driving instructor behind the wheel that my parents weren't teaching me. Mm-hmm. To have a certified trainer teaching me how to drive safely was important. You know, and knock on wood, I've never been in an accident as a driver. I was a safe driver when I was 16, and I'm a safe driver now. But it was things that I learned from an instructor. And so I think taking that thought about how do we help people learn to drive more safely seriously, and partnering with our DMV and enforcement, with our law enforcement, on really getting the message across that we need to operate these vehicles in a safe manner.
Yeah, I was able to learn in school, too, out of state, but that's not offered anymore, right? Was it offered when you were in school, Gabby?
It was offered when I was in school, but I have been out of high school for a long time now, it seems like. So I'm not sure what the policies are now, but I know when I was in high school, it really made me pay attention, not only for the rules of the road, but after I got my permit, the classes that you are required to take with an instructor before you could go and get your driver's license. I think those are so important.
But again, adults don't have to take behind the wheel in California. Mm-hmm. You just take the exam, the driving exam. You drive around the block with a DMV instructor in there. I don't think it's comprehensive enough. I think all new drivers would benefit from an actual behind the wheel course with a licensed instructor.
I'm Lotta Murti with you for Central Coast Voices on KCBX, your Central Coast listener-supported radio station. My guests today are Gabby Delgado, Behavioral Wellness Coalition Coordinator and Prevention Specialist with Fighting Back Santa Maria Valley, and Edwin Weaver, Executive Director of Fighting Back Santa Maria Valley. And we are talking about the recent car crash involving Santa Maria youth and what it means for the Santa Maria community as a whole. Listeners, call and tell us your thoughts on this recent tragedy. Call 805-781-3875, and you can be on air with today's guests, Edwin and Gabby of Fighting Back Santa Maria Valley. You can also email us at voices@kcbx.com. www.ncbi.org. So, Edwin, you referred to this a little bit earlier, but it's been, what, about 6 weeks now, six, 7 weeks since the accident. What has the response been overall in the community in Santa Maria?
Well, I'd like to hand it over to Gabby to talk about the coalition. We had an emergency meeting right after the accident, and I'd like to let her talk about what the coalition's up to. Yeah.
So our coalition meets monthly on the first Tuesday of every month, and we had just had our June meeting. But we didn't want to wait for another month to do something about it. So we had an emergency coalition meeting to really just discuss what happened and discuss what we need to do. We can't wait around. We need to really be proactive. So from that meeting, we developed an alcohol task force. So we are working on different prevention initiatives to promote within our community, especially before the start of the new school year.
Wonderful. That's good. Are you already seeing some results?
Results take time.
They do take time, yes.
But my heart is very happy to know that there are so many community members who have come together over the course of the last 6 weeks to show that they want to do something, to show that they care and they care for their community. So I'm very hopeful that our group is going to achieve great things, but these outcomes are going to take a little bit of time.
Definitely.
And Gabby, yeah. When's the next coalition meeting, the task force meeting?
The next task force meeting is going to be next Tuesday on July 28th, and that will be a hybrid meeting, a Zoom meeting.
And how large is this task force?
It is open to our whole coalition. Anybody can join in from the community. And right now I have about 25 people who are wanting to contribute and join in on the conversation. But I really want to emphasize that there's an invitation for everybody at the table. We want different perspectives and opinions because we need diverse perspectives to help push these projects forward.
So this is an intergenerational group?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we really want to reach our parents. You know, one of the things that I wrote about in our newsletter was the fact that we in Santa Maria love to get together. We love to eat. Unfortunately, part of that has become an alcohol culture. I'm sad to say that almost every time I get invited to an event, I see people consuming alcohol. And I know many of them are being safe with it, maybe having a beer, waiting, you know, with water. But many times I can tell that they're over the limit and they're leaving the home. They're leaving the event under the influence and driving home. And so start having that conversation as a community. Is that who we want to be? Where alcohol is the center of everything that we do, what would it look like to have a graduation party without alcohol, a quinceañera without alcohol, a birthday without alcohol, or anniversary? Just trying that on for size as a family, what would it look like to get together and enjoy others' company with other alternative beverages that aren't alcohol and really see what that feels like? And that includes our communities. You know, we have a lot of social clubs that have alcohol forefront of the activity. Start thinking about having an event that doesn't include alcohol and see what that looks like, because I believe that our kids think you have to have alcohol in order to be together, and that's unfortunate. We really want to show them and model that behavior of what it means to be a responsible adult. I think the other big thing that came out of this event, and I heard it from a lot of parents, is it's time to sit down and talk to our kids and remind them that they can call you, and if they can't call you, maybe there's an uncle or somebody they can call, another adult that they can call. If they find themselves in a situation where they're either under the influence and they shouldn't get behind the wheel, or that their ride all of a sudden is under the influence, you know. There were five kids who got into a car with an impaired driver. It would have been great if they had somebody they could call and say, come get me. My ride is under the influence. I can't get in the car with them. I hope that they had that, but it's important as adults that we make sure our kids know they can call us. I always used to say to my kids, you can call me. I will come. I will not lecture you that night. We're going to have a conversation about it in the morning, but that night it'll be calm. I will pick you up. you'll go to bed, and then we'll talk about it the next day. And my kiddos know that, and I hope your children do too. So have that conversation with your child, with your nephew, with your niece, that they can always count on you for a safe ride home.
Thank you, Edwin. I do want to come back to some of what you just said, but we have a caller who's been waiting patiently. John Gillespie in Santa Maria would like to talk about disaffection in youth. Hello, John. You're on the air.
Hello. Hi.
Hello. Do you have a question for our guest today?
Well, an observation, a sociological observation. I've lived in this county of San Luis Obispo over 40 years, and I've watched youth and its disaffection with the culture and the introduction of social media has exasperated it. It's like a disconnect with youth. And that happens anyway. I mean, I did it in my own youth. But there was also, there's a lack of an introduction of a social interest, a consideration for others, an introspective moment, you know, that there's a lot of reaction to the movies. It's all shoot 'em up and banging it around, and, you know, they're not thinking right. I've raised a few kids myself, and it was a challenge because they lived in fear of a lot of authorities and their approach, and all that did was make them go underground. And I saw a lack of initiation into manhood and womanhood that reflects a social interest and a manliness. It's hard for youth, though, because it's proven their brains aren't connected till about 25, and they're open to hairball schemes. And maybe that's, we got to bring the conversation into that. But I know when I'm driving around, people are driving like race car drivers. And I like to cruise. I've been accused of just being a cruiser. And I'm okay with that. Not in that big a hurry. It never made that much difference anyway. So anyway, those are the thoughts off my head when I heard about this. I really regret, feel for the people and the families faced with this. It's like, I don't know.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts and observations, John. I'm going to let our guest today respond. And so, Gabby, Edwin, what do you think of John's observations about youth today and their disaffection, their disconnection?
Yeah, I hesitate to use that word, but I appreciate John's comments because it sounds like he has been involved in the lives of youth. And I think that's the start. You know, when we sit down and actually talk to our youth, we find that they are very passionate about things. It's just might not be the things that we are excited about. We were just talking together about, you know, there's groups of kids who do not like social media. They are not on it. It's not interesting to them. They find no interest in that. If you are only to listen to the media and to the talking heads, you would think every kid's on social media all the time, and that's just not true. Our young people are diverse in their way of thinking. They have lots of interests. Some of them you've never heard of before. And so I think what John's point about being involved in the lives of youth is the best thing that we can do as adults. So I would suggest getting alive, listen, and pay attention to what your neighbors or your own children or your friends' children are doing, and just find out. It's amazing. The lives of the youth are very different than ours growing up. And so they're very interested in a lot of things, but some of them are not the things that we care about. That is true.
Yes. And in my experience, they can tell when you're faking the interest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you agree, Gabby, or what's been your experience? You work with a lot of youth.
I definitely agree. I do work with a lot of youth, and one of the things that sticks out to me the most is just to be there for them, because you don't know what that interaction will do for not only their self-esteem, but also will give them confidence to pursue whatever they're interested in the future. Because even from a very young age, if somebody doesn't show you that, I don't know, lack, or if somebody shows you just a lack of interest, that knocks down your confidence level. And over time, you just keep on losing your confidence. And what does that do for the student? It just tears them down. So being there and listening, even though you may not find it interesting, will be so monumental for that student, that young person.
So we are referring to students, to young people. What age ranges are we talking about, especially for Fighting Back Santa Maria Valley and the Coalition?
Yeah, our target age is anybody under the age of 24, but that usually translates to kids in kindergarten all the way up through 24, and it depends on which program. Our prevention work focuses really on under 18s, but, you know, we have a lot of conversations with older youth as well. And so that's the age group that we're talking about.
And as we were talking about right before we went on air, the average age in Santa Maria is 29, making it one of the youngest cities in the U.S. Are most youth you work with high school students?
They range. It's usually the group of students that I work with are junior high through high school students. So you really get a diverse outlook on interest. But I think that is so special because it brings together so many youth. But it's just great to see them grow and to blossom, especially from that first interaction you have with them.
And our housing program is mostly 18 to 24-year-olds, but we do work with a lot of unhoused families. So that's children of parents who are unhoused or have housing insecurity. So we do work with a lot of elementary school kids and junior high kids as well.
And as John, our caller, was kind of indirectly alluding to, there can be a lot of growth and development in just 1 year, right, at that age, before 25.
Yeah.
And then at 25, supposedly we're mature, right?
Our synapses
are decisions.
Our synapses are connected, according to Dan Siegel.
Yes, but we always have more to learn, especially from young people. I think we'll go to a break now and then come back and talk some more about this. Brad, over to you in our studio.
Did you know that KCBX has another whole channel with lots more great programming? You can stream KCBX2 on our website and on the KCBX app, or find it on your HD radio at 90.1-2. Tune in for BBC World Service, Democracy Now!, beautiful classical music every night, NPR favorites like Here and Now, and lots more. Look for the full KCBX2 schedule at kcbx.org and on the KCBX app.
Hola, I'm Maria Hinojosa. Every Thursday afternoon at 2, you can hear Latino USA on KCBX. Latino USA is a Peabody Award-winning radio journal of news and culture from a Latino-Latina perspective. It chronicles how we're living, shaping, and changing the United States of America. Tune in for in-depth reporting, candid conversations, and fascinating stories. Join me for Latino USA Thursdays from 2 to 3 on KCBX Central Coast Public Radio.
On the next Fresh Air, the creator of the Netflix series Beef, Lee Sung-jin. His second season about rage, class, and blackmail at a country club just earned 16 Emmy nominations. He spent 2 decades writing for other people's shows before he started mining stories from his own life. Join us.
That's a look ahead today on our Thursday here on KCBX. Latino USA is following this program from 2 till 3. Then you can hear Fresh Air from 3 to 4 and Marketplace at 4. Right now, let's return to Lotta Murdy and her guests on Central Coast Voices. Back to you, Lotta.
Thank you, Brad. Welcome back. I'm talking to Fighting Back Santa Maria Valley's Executive Director, Edwin Weaver, and also Fighting Back Santa Maria Valley's Behavioral Wellness Coalition Coordinator and Prevention Specialist, Gabby Delgado. And we have been talking about Fighting Back Santa Maria Valley's response to the recent car crash tragedy of June 7th in Santa Maria. And we're about to talk about their upcoming navigation center focused on youth. Listeners, call 805-781-3875 to find out more or to share your experiences with local youth. Or you can email your questions to voices@kcbx.org, and we will get them on the air. So before the break, and I believe before our caller as well, Edwin, you were talking about how alcohol is so central to our socializing, particularly on the Central Coast. And I was thinking it's also central to our economy and our industry, right? And so I wonder how you, Gabby, or you, Edwin, would respond to others saying, well, we can't just remove alcohol from the shelves, or, you know, we want to encourage people to drink because that's what drives our economy.
Well, I would suggest go to your local 7-Eleven or grocery store or liquor store and see the products and realize that we unfortunately have decided to start marketing alcohol products to children. The term we use are called Alka-Pops. If you go to a local vendor, you'll see that there are colorful, fruity flavored drinks designed for children. They're very confusing because they look just like an Arizona tea or an energy drink and designed that way. But they're very, very powerful with way too much alcohol percentage. There's a thing called Four Locos that has the equivalent of four hard drinks in a size of a Arizona tea.
So four is in the number four and Locos?
Crazy, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the brand. But there's other products just like them throughout the industry that are confusing because if you saw a youth with it, it would look like a drink, a soda, and it tastes like one. It's very flavorful, full of sugar and flavors. So it's designed to market to our children, and we have decided that 21 is where the age should start. I wouldn't mind us moving that up to 25, but that's my druthers. And so what we're talking about is getting young people to not drink, not adults, and then adults who do drink to not drink and drive. I think the industry, everybody would agree, those are reasonable things to start thinking about. And those are things that we could all target and make as a goal of ours as a community is quit marketing to children and then let's focus in on getting adults who do drink to drive safely and to drive get home safely.
Do you have anything to add to that, Gabby?
I just think with alcohol, nowadays it is just so accessible. It is affordable, especially with youth. We have a youth action coalition composed of junior high and high school students, and one of their observations was that they are able to buy alcohol along with other substances on social media. It is at the hands of their fingertips. We did a focus group. We were talking about it, and they were able to find an account instantly. And that just goes to show you how accessible and affordable alcohol is. And we are trying to teach young people, but sometimes also adults, on the lasting impacts of alcohol, other substances, especially if their brain is not yet fully developed.
And so when we're talking about affordable, like how much do they observe?
It varies depending on the product, but around
$5. Yeah.
And that is amounts that youth have. They don't have upwards of sometimes 15, 20, but in small quantities, that makes the product affordable.
I always find it fascinating that it's more expensive to buy a bottle of water than it is some alcohol in a liquor store.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that. Yeah, a bottle of water can be more expensive sometimes. Interesting. You are bringing in the callers today. Isaac is on the line in Santa Maria and would like to talk about better dialogue with young people. Hello, Isaac, you're on the air.
Yes, hello, hello. It's a little noisy. I'm at the pool right now with the kids over here. But my question is to Mr. Weaver, as a parent, how how we communicate better with our sons, daughters, or your generation.
You know, hey, Isaac, it's good to hear from you. You know, I think put your phone down, parent. I can't tell you how many times I see kids trying to talk to their parents and their parents are looking at their phone, and I am guilty of that, I have to say. So put your phone down, you know, make eye contact and really listen. I think so. Gabby said it earlier. We are quick to start preaching and teaching, but I think really good conversations with our youth and our kids starts with listening to them. Ask them the question, did you know these students? What do you think about this? What do you think happened that night that made them get in the car that day? Have you ever been in a situation like that? Really open up the dialogue with your kiddo by asking a lot of questions. I think you'll get a lot further.
I guess, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I see that. I got it. That's pretty good. I appreciate it. Thank you. That's a good point. Yes, definitely.
Thanks so much. Thank you for
thank you.
Calling from the pool with your kids, Isaac. We appreciate it.
I have a bunch of kids over here at the pool. Thank you.
We have another caller, Bill from Grover Beach, would like to talk about past job training programs in relation to youth. Hello, Bill. You're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to tell you about my experience in high school when we had a free mandatory driver training program that was funded by drivers' traffic tickets. That was and was supported by local car dealers who donated cars for us to drive, and that it was discontinued during their Reagan administration, and all that money went into the general fund. And if anybody could bring that something like that back, I think it would save a lot of lives.
Thanks so much for bringing that up, Bill. I appreciate it. That was part of what I was trying to ask about, although indirectly earlier, when I mentioned there were driver's ed programs right in high school, but they don't exist anymore. And what happened to these kinds of programs? Do you think they'll come back, or how could we as a community help bring those back?
Well, we've really created a disparity. If you have means, you can hire as a parent, you can hire a trained instructor to teach your child to drive, which is the law in California if you're under the age of 18. But then we have this strange thing that all of a sudden when you turn 18, you don't need driving instructing anymore. And so to Bill and my generation, we got free driver's ed from our parents, of course, while we had our learner's permit. But we also had instructors teaching us. And I think that's really important.
And Bill was mentioning donated used cars as well.
And funds. So that existed. And we took it away. So now only the rich can pay for their kids to get driving instruction, and the folks who don't have means have to wait. And then when they're 18, they just go and try to take the test and pass without any instruction from a licensed instructor.
But can they pass without that?
You drive around the block, you turn three or four blocks, and you do a circle, and that's it.
Okay. I'm also asking because my 18-year-old is going to have to take that test soon.
I would encourage your 18-year-old to get behind the wheel from an instructor. I've done it for adult friends. I've funded that, and I think it's really important.
Does this come up in the coalition meetings? Are community members talking about this, Gabby? The programs that once were that are gone now, youth driving in general?
Youth driving, it has come up, especially with the fact that youth, even adults, are distracted in terms of texting and driving, just racing alongside their friends if their friends are right next to them. All of these factors have come up. I'm thankful that youth that I work with closely, they've identified those problems, and it's meaning so much more because they are understanding it and they're preaching alongside to their other peers. Some of our young students are giving presentations to their peers, and that is just so impactful because I can go up there and I can give a presentation. Maybe they'll listen to me, maybe they won't. But because it's coming from somebody their age, it's just so much more impactful.
Right. Yeah. That peer-to-peer discussion is so important. So we haven't gotten to the Navigation Center yet that's opening up for youth. But before we do, can you tell our listeners how can they support Fighting Back Santa Maria Valley's work and particularly the coalition's work on all of these issues?
As I mentioned before, anybody is invited to coalition meetings. Everybody is encouraged to come because everyone brings a unique perspective, and your unique perspective is going to help drive our efforts forward. If you would like more information, you can visit the Fighting Back Santa Maria Valley website, and there you could request information to connect, and we'll be sure to reach out to you to invite you to our next coalition meeting.
And again, the coalition meets
every month on the first Tuesday of every month, usually around 11 to 12:15 p.m. in person at Vita Church in Santa Maria.
At what church?
Vita Church.
Vita Church.
Yes.
All right.
Formerly
very good.
Known as Foursquare.
Oh, okay. Formerly Foursquare. And can our listeners go to social media too? Or are we not encouraging social media?
We're on social media.
Yes. And that can also be another way to request information as well.
Wonderful. And there's the Youth Navigation Center, or what will its official name be?
That's it. Fighting Back Santa Maria Valley Navigation Center. It's our youth homeless services work. We work with anyone who is unhoused, ages 16 to 24. And our job is to get them housed. And so we, with the partnership of the City of Santa Maria and the County of Santa Barbara and SenCal, have been able to purchase a building at 526 East Chapel and renovate it. It opens up August 1st, and we'll have our grand opening on the 21st. That'll be a place where anyone who is unhoused, who's under the age of 25, will be able to get full scope services. So they can walk in, get a snack, do their laundry, take a shower, rest, charge their phone, check on their email, and then a housing navigator will ask them if they want help getting housed and help them with that process. They'll also receive substance abuse counseling and mental health counseling there with our therapist who will be in the building, ready and available. And then our street outreach folks will be out in the community continuing to reach out to young people and encouraging them to come to the center. The center will be open after hours. We'll be starting out Monday through Friday, open till 7:30 at night, and then in September we'll be starting Saturday hours as well. We're very excited about this program, and it's been a long way in the making. We hope to be able to serve all of our unhoused youth and get them off the streets and get them into housing.
Very good. How do you see this as related to Fighting Back Santa Maria Valley Coalition's work with the prevention of alcohol and substance abuse?
Yeah, I mean, I want you to imagine yourself being a 20-year-old with no place to go. You end up sleeping on we had a young person sleeping on our doorstep. And I was trying to figure out, like, how would I do that? How would I fall asleep? Well, I would use substances. I would use alcohol or drugs in order to go to sleep because there's no way my nervous system would slow down long enough for me to sleep on the streets without being under the influence. So we see this as a huge part of what we do. Our mission is to partner with all members of the community to achieve resiliency against substance use, reduce instant violence, and promote a safe and healthy community. So it's another part of what we do in the long term, because if we can get people housed who are having a substance use disorder or overusing, then it's a lot easier to start talking about their addiction after they have secure housing. It's hard for somebody to start thinking about lowering their intake of alcohol or drugs while they're unhoused. They seem to go together. But once someone is housed and safely housed, in a calm, safe place and have housing security, then they're much more open to start thinking about, well, maybe I shouldn't be doing this other thing that's bad for me as well.
This is Lana Murty with you for Central Coast Voices on KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, your listener-supported radio station. If you recently joined us for today's show and want to listen to the entire broadcast, you can. It's available on our website at www.kcbx.org under the On Demand tab. Click on Central Coast Voices, and you will find this show and many others to choose from. Also, check out the new KCBX app, which you can download through Google Play or the App Store. And there's still time for your emailed questions about fighting back Santa Maria Valley, their soon-to-be-opened Navigation Center for Unhoused Youth, and the recent car crash involving Santa Maria youth. Please send them to voices@kcbx.org, and we will get them on the air. My guests for today's show are Fighting Back Santa Maria Valley's Behavioral Wellness Coalition Coordinator and Prevention Specialist, Gabby Delgado, and Fighting Back Santa Maria Valley's Executive Director, Edwin Weaver. And we are talking about Fighting Back Santa Maria Valley's upcoming Navigation Center for Youth and their work in response to a recent DUI tragedy involving Santa Maria youth. So, Gabby, as Edwin was talking about the Navigation Center and how it will focus on unhoused youth and how that relates to substance abuse, I was wondering, do you have any unhoused youth or unhoused youth representatives in the coalition?
I currently do not, but it's really important to for all of us to extend our reach. We want to impact the lives of so many students, and that is why we are very active among the community. We go to different tabling events, and oftentimes we bring our Youth Action Coalition students, and they're doing all the work because they want to make that difference. So they're reaching so many students. So my hope for is in the future, if we find a student, a youth who needs additional support, they feel comfortable coming to us as a table to help them feel supported.
And hopefully the Navigation Center would pave the way for that, right?
Absolutely. And what you might not know is the Navigation Center was an idea that was youth-driven. 3 years ago, we did a survey of youth, and we have a youth action board around youth homelessness. We brought former homeless youth and current homeless youth together with some technical help from the federal government to meet and say, what were the needs? What are the real needs of you when you were homeless or as you are homeless? And they said, we need a place. We need a place that we belong, that we can go to, and we know we can get help. And they said the model was a Navigation Center. So the Navigation Center was brought to the forefront, and it was their idea, the young people who are unhoused, saying we need this service. So it's really great that their voices were heard by the city, by the county, and by us at Fighting Back, and said, yeah, we'll make this happen. It's taken us a while, took, you know, 3 years to get it going, to get it finished. But, you know, the building is paid for. There's no lease on it. All of our services will be in one place, and it's beautiful. It's such a pretty, beautiful building. We're very excited about it opening up. But it is a youth-driven event. It wasn't something we came up with and said, here, you know, you need this. No, this is something they said they needed, and we responded with the support that they needed.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the center itself, the structure, where it's located?
Yeah, when you first drive up, it stands out. It's ocean blue because we thought the ocean theme. Our partners in Santa Barbara run the Noah's Anchorage, and so they started out with the ocean theme. And so it has gold lettering on the front that says Navigation Center with a sextant. So a sextant is a tool that you would use if you were sailing to position yourself and to know what direction to go to. We have a beautiful parking lot. We also have a bike rack. You can park your bike. Once you walk in, you're in a very relaxed area that's beautiful. It has a television, couches. There's tables to sit at. You can walk right in. Past reception, and then go to the kitchen, and you can make yourself a snack. There's a washer-dryer combo there, so you can do your laundry. While your clothes are being washed, you can hop into a shower that's ADA approved. It's huge. I want to take a shower there, but I don't think they're going to let me. And it's a great, big, beautiful shower with a private bathroom, and so you can take as much time as you need. When you come out of the shower, after you've done your business, you can the cool thing about the washer-dryer combo is it one machine washes and dries your clothes at the same time, so you don't have to worry about it. So you can either watch some TV or you can get on your phone and start charging it. The staff there are ready to talk to you about housing or maybe a job or getting your documents ready, and you can just relax and hang out. There's plenty of room. It's a big open space. The back half of the building, there's a place for our therapist to have private therapy with somebody, and that's our master's in social work therapist who's there ready to serve. And then there's also a classroom in the back. So we're going to be doing classes around nutrition, around housing, around job security, on how to interview for a job or whatever topics that you say they need. And so that space will be available for that. And then there's in the back – there's office space for the staff to do their business, their notes and things, and a break room for them as well. There's another bathroom in the front that people can use. It's a public bathroom. When the shower is occupied, you know that they need to go. So we're pretty excited about the whole thing, and it's a beautifully painted. It's all brand-new windows, all brand-new flooring, brand-new paint. We basically tore it down to the guts and started all over.
Wow. So it is a brand new structure.
Very much.
Yeah. Gabby, do you think the coalition will start meeting there?
They're not allowed to.
Oh, they're not allowed to.
I wish we were, but we have a very nice meeting space at Vita Church that accommodates many people. So I'm very happy where we're at right now.
Great.
Yeah, the Navigation Center is only for the youth. It's not for meetings. It's not for book clubs. It's just for them. It's their space. It's not for
others. It's not an event center.
It is not an event center. It's not – can't use it for anything other than their business.
But we can go to the grand opening,
yep.
Yes?
August 21st, we'll have a ribbon cutting at 12. We'll open up at 9:30. Lunch will be served. So we're excited about that, and it'll be open until 2. So you can walk in and get a tour, and then we'll have lunch a little bit later at noon with the ribbon cutting and the – all the big shots will be talking and doing their thing. So
we're not allowed in, but we can still support the center, right? Our
yes.
listeners can support it and tell them how they can support the center.
Yeah, so we have 35 youth under roof right now. So we always need stuff for our Hope Village, our 10 folks at Hope Village, at our Resilient Place, which is 5 beds, and then the 15 scattered. So – you know, it's always good to give us a call. And if you have kitchen items or things like that, our youth always needs that. We can always use financial donations, of course. And then there's other ways you can volunteer that have little to do with our Navigation Center but have to do with youth. And that's in the area of mediation and justice-involved youth work that we do.
Great. And Gabby, tell us again how the listeners can support Fighting Back Santa Maria Valley's coalition and find out more about it.
So I really want to emphasize that we need your support. We need your expertise, whether you're a parent, a teacher, law enforcement, we need you at the table because your perspectives are going to help us. And it's going to make our community a stronger place to live. You could reach out for more information via our website, fightingbacksantamariavalley.com, fbsmv.com. And you can request more information that way, and then we can give you a call.
Wonderful. So in our last couple of minutes, is there anything that you haven't talked about that you'd like to leave our listeners with? Or would you like to talk about the personal impact that the work you've been doing with youth and Fighting Back Santa Maria Valley has had on you? Gabby?
Personally, I think when I first started out fighting back Santa Maria Valley, I was fresh out of college, but I knew that I wanted to make a difference in my community. And I'm very thankful to Edwin, among others, who have given me that opportunity to grow and to be a mentor to so many youth in our community. Give youth that little bit of confidence, and that would help them soar. So I think that's what I really want to touch on. So thank you, Edwin. Thank you, Gina, Donette, for giving me that confidence, because now I feel like a better leader, but also I feel like a better mentor.
I appreciate your emphasis on confidence. It is important, I believe. Edwin?
Well, I would like to make a pitch. We at Fighting Back Santa Maria Valley are working really hard at reducing violence in our community and keeping it a safe place. And one of the areas that we want to do that in is through mediation of conflict. So if you are interested in mediating, or the word mediation, we are starting our mediation class in September. You would get trained how to become a professional mediator and get a chance to practice mediation in small claims court. We would love for you to reach out to us at our website, or give us a call, 805-346-1774, and say you're interested in mediation. It's a great opportunity if you're interested in law or the legal system or how to get involved in peacemaking in our community. This is a new thing for us. We're excited about it, and it's a great opportunity. We do especially need folks in Santa Maria to sign up for this mediation class.
Fighting Back Santa Maria Valley does so much. Does so much. I want to thank you both. Edwin Weaver, Executive Director of Fighting Back Santa Maria Valley, and Gabby Delgado, Behavioral Wellness Coalition Coordinator and Prevention Specialist with Fighting Back Santa Maria Valley. We have been talking about Fighting Back Santa Maria Valley. They're soon to be opening Navigation Center focused on unhoused youth in Santa Maria. And we've also been talking about the recent DUI car crash involving Santa Maria youth. Next week, Thursday, July 30th, from 1 to 2 p.m., join me again as I talk to representatives of the City of Guadalupe involved in the renovation of Guadalupe's Royal Theater. Central Coast Voices is produced with the support of KCBX Public Radio. I'm Lotta Murty. Thank you for joining us today.